With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues for this June weekend of 2024. I hope you're having a great weekend where you happen to be. If you're just joining us, let me tell you where we happen to be. Get out those maps, boys and girls. 43 degrees, 9 minutes north, 77 degrees, 36 minutes west. We are in Rochester, New York. One of the cooler cities that most people don't even know about, but we're happy to be here to tell you about it. In fact, a little bit later in this segment, we're going to talk to the folks at the Strong Museum. And if you've never heard of this museum, you are missing out on a lot. It is actually called the Strong Museum of Play. Every kind of game you grew up with, every kind of game you wish you learned how to play, every kind of game you wish you had is in this museum and more. And talk about interactive. What an amazing thing. That's coming up a little bit later. But first, as you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones out there in Kildare, Illinois. We've got Tina Marie on the phone. Hello, Tina Marie.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my email and calling me. I really appreciate it.
Well, talk to me. How can I help you?
So on a recent flight from Italy to Chicago, which was June 5th, I arrived back in Chicago O'Hare. I took Lufthansa, German airline. They lost all five of my luggage, my bag, four of which I received return damage, and the fifth bag has not been recovered.
Okay, let me back you up for a sec. So you flew on a nonstop flight. Was it from either Frankfurt or Munich?
I actually had a connection in Munich.
Ah, there's the problem. Okay, so you connected in Munich, and when you landed at O'Hare, none of the bags showed up.
When we landed, we had a message saying that all five bags were delayed.
So they were back in Munich.
I am getting discordant information, especially on the fifth bag.
Okay, but we'll get to the fifth bag in a minute. The information that you got, when you got off the plane, none of those bags showed up on the conveyor belt.
Correct.
Okay, what did you then do?
I talked to baggage. They said I had to complete an online form. Everything had to be online. There was nobody there to talk to you or give you any information. Basically, it's, radio silent. You had to complete an online. I did it immediately, completed all of it with a description. I followed up the next day and they basically told me they had no information. They had no location. And I said, well, it's dating for some strange reason. This was rushed to Denver. They told me they have no control over where overfill baggage goes, and they could not tell me where my bag was. They said to continue to follow online and to keep my lines open.
Okay.
Never received any calls.
Okay, hold on a second. So far you have no bags at this point.
I now have four bags. It took a week to get four bags.
Okay, so you did get those bags and
damaged.
I'll get to that in a second. Was everything in the bags?
No.
Okay. Can I ask you another stupid question?
Item.
Okay.
Yes.
What kind of bags were they?
So the first four bags were just upright away luggage. The last bag that's missing was a high-end bag.
Okay. And so the four bags that you got back were just regular branded bags, nothing special.
Correct.
Okay. Those are the ones you got back, but there were things missing from those bags?
Correct. Items that I purchased that were still in boxes.
Okay. So lesson number one coming up here, Tina Marie. Baggage thieves do not steal bags. They steal individual items from bags. And there's the first problem right there. If you're going to buy a new item with the price tag still on and it's still in the box, you're running a risk of not seeing it when you get home. And the real problem is, let's assume those bags did come on your flight and it came out on the conveyor belt. I know what you would have done. You would have grabbed those bags right off the conveyor belt and gone home, right?
Correct.
You would not have opened them at the airport. Am I right?
Correct.
Big mistake, because once you leave the airport, it's your word against the airlines and you lose.
Yes.
And you don't know.
That's exactly what I'm hearing.
All right, so wait, those are the first four bags. You said the other bag was a high-end bag. What kind of bag was it?
A Chanel.
Tina, listen carefully. If I ever hear anybody who listens to the show, look, I'm not going to tell you what to buy. If you want to buy a Chanel bag, you go for it. But you should never check in a high-end bag. It's calling attention to every bag thief, like, look at this, guys. And guess what? It can disappear. I'm going to tell you a fun story. Many, many years ago, I actually had to check a bag. I used to hate to check bags, right? Two kinds of airline bags, carry-on and lost, right? Okay. So I had to check a bag, and I was on Eastern Airlines flying to from Atlanta to LaGuardia. I get to LaGuardia, I go to the baggage carousel, and I'm there waiting. And who's standing next to me waiting for his bag? The famous designer, Emilio Pucci. And I said, and I'm saying to myself, oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait to see what he checked in. So here comes my bag out. But the first bag out was his. The ugliest, like vomit green Samsonite, right? Probably bought at Sears. And he looked at me and smiled like, yeah, I know. But he got his bag. So This is not the time to call attention to yourself. If you want to buy a handbag and walk all around the streets with it, great. And have me go, hey, Tina Marie, what a beautiful looking bag. I'll work with that. I can live with that. But under no circumstances should you ever check that bag in, right? So now you're still missing a bag, right?
Let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
So what happened was we didn't want to check that bag in. When we were checking our bags in, we were forced to check that bag in. That's something that another question I'm going to ask you. That was a carry-on bag. So the size of it was a carry-on. We were told we had to check it in.
And why was that?
We were very reluctant.
What was the reasoning they gave you?
They told us there wasn't enough room on the plane. So initially we just checked the three bags and we're standing at the checkout desk. That's why I asked for the cameras to be pulled and nobody will respond to me. And she said, you have to check all your bags. And we're like, and I knew what was in that high-end bag was some high-end shoes and a brand new high-end item. And we were just very reluctant. She's like, it's fine. It'll be fine. Well, it wasn't fine.
Of course it wasn't fine. Not only did you check in a high-end bag, you checked in high-end stuff in the high-end bag.
Yeah.
Very
high-end.
I know. Yep. Merry Christmas to somebody at baggage claim.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
You know, I've had this situation happen to me on Lufthansa many times, by the way, where they claim
where they claim
the plane is full and there's no room in the overhead. Where were you in the boarding process? Were you group one or group nine?
No, we were towards the front, like three or four.
Yeah, well, was the plane full?
No.
Woo. All right.
Yeah.
Did you? And of course, you never got the name and title of anybody you talked to, correct?
Yeah, and of course not, right? You have your tickets. I have everything. I have my little receipt.
No, everything's okay.
But
you didn't get the name of anybody you talked to.
No. Nope.
I didn't. I need everybody who listens to my show to be a good reporter. Now, did you have any kind of insurance?
No.
Okay. So would you like me to start a fundraising drive for you?
Yes. My daughter, who goes for her Christmas and birthday gift.
All right, listen, I know you sent me all the documentation. I've got it right here. Let me see what I can do with Lufthansa. I'll give them a call. But right now, I would have to tell you it's not looking very good. But I will try, and I will get back to you, okay?
Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. But have we learned any lessons today, Tina Marie?
Lots of lessons learned.
Okay.
Lots of lessons.
Good. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. And coming up next, the Museum of Play. We'll have some fun right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back. With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
It's Peter Greenberg here back with you as Eye on Travel continues for this June weekend 2024. I hope you're enjoying your weekend wherever you happen to be. If you're just joining the show, let me tell you where we happen to be. Get out those maps, boys and girls. 43 degrees, 9 minutes north, 77 degrees, 36 minutes west. We're coming to you from Rochester, New York, a very cool place that most people don't know. That's why we're here, checking it out and, of course, sharing that with you. And, of course, you can always reach me. You know the drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones right now. Out in Chicago, I've got Nicole on the phone. Hey, Nicole.
Hi there.
How can I help you?
Well, I have an issue. I purchased tickets through a company, airline tickets, that were non-refundable.
Okay, hold on a second. What company?
Yeah, Capital One Travel.
Okay, and these are non-refundable airline tickets.
Correct.
So let me ask, you bought basic economy? Oh, Nicole, we have to go into a therapy session immediately, but we'll get to that in a second. Remember, we have a saying here on this show, friends don't let friends buy basic economy, but you did. So keep going.
Well, we had a medical issue and had to cancel. We couldn't take the trip. There are five of us, so we had to cancel all of the tickets. They were non-refundable, so we were issued a credit from Capital One Travel for use within the next year on that airline. With various restrictions.
Hold on. And what airline was that?
Air Canada.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay. We do, though, have insurance, travel insurance, to cover this issue. So we contacted the insurance company.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. And the name of the insurance company?
Chubb.
Chubb's pretty good.
And it was with... Absolutely. And it was with the credit card Capital One that we paid for the tickets with.
Keep going.
All right. So we submitted all the required documentation to the insurance company. And the insurance company told us that because of the credits that were issued, we wouldn't be able to collect on the claim until the year expired and we hadn't used the credit. So the credits would expire.
And by the way, I understand that. Yes. Otherwise it's double dipping.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
100%. We contacted Capital One Travel though, because we never wanted the credits. We didn't request the credits and we were not going to use the credits. So we requested that Capital One cancel the credits. They wouldn't do that.
Did they give you a reason? Mm-hmm.
Against their policy.
Oh, that's good.
And right. Well, but we didn't see that in the documentation when I purchased the tickets. So I didn't realize that was going to occur, but regardless.
Okay.
Okay. So we contacted.
Yeah, keep going. I'm getting ready to answer this. Go ahead.
Okay. So we contacted Air Canada and they told us that if we requested a refund of the refundable taxes that we paid, that the credits would automatically be canceled. So that's what we did. We contacted Capital One Travel, requested a refund of the refundable taxes, and they sent us an email stating that they were going to refund the taxes and they told us on the phone that the credits then would be canceled.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
My question is, did they give you a name and a person and a title of the person at Capital One when you call them?
I always request names and I always document the times that I called and the company that I'm talking to. So
you got a name and you got a full name?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I didn't get a full name. They don't give full names.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't give a full name.
Okay.
Just a first name.
Okay. You ready now, Nicole? I'm going to talk and you're going to listen. Here we go.
Okay.
Number one, anytime you purchase a ticket through an OTA, otherwise known as an online travel agency, which Capital One, in fact, is performing that function in this situation, when something goes wrong, you really have nobody to talk about or talk to have a conversation that would basically rely on basic common sense. So here's what I want you to do. In the future, you know, you could have gone through a regular travel agent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But you didn't. So here's what I want you to do. You're going to email me back. You're going to give me the ticket numbers. You're going to give me the confirmation of your insurance from Chubb. You're going to tell me exactly the reservation confirmation numbers. And then the policy number from Chubb. The dates of the flights on Air Canada. The ones that you never took. And then I only have one other question. Have you received any money yet?
Regarding the taxes?
Regarding anything?
No, absolutely not. Nothing.
Okay, good. Get me all that information. I'll make a few phone calls and see what I can get with people who will actually have to give me their names. Fair enough?
Fantastic.
Well, wait a second.
Fair enough. I will.
But we're not done yet.
Okay.
What lessons have we learned here, Nicole?
not to buy basic economy.
That's one.
Not to buy non-refundable tickets.
There you go. By the way, do you know that, let me just help you out here. On most domestic tickets, the difference in fare and basic economy to the next level, which wouldn't give you those problems, is about $30 a ticket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the biggest problem when you go online to purchase a ticket is you went for the lowest price, which is the very first price you saw. And guess what that was? It was basic economy.
It was basic economy.
I know. So from now on, anybody listening to the show, unless you're in the witness relocation program or a member of the or a fugitive from justice, you are not going to buy basic economy. Don't do it. It just denies you every right you have and every leg to stand on. And the difference in fare is usually only about $30. So don't do it. So that's one of the lessons you learned. And then the other lesson, which you've applied, of course, is you called me. So I will now do my best to help you out. No guarantees, but we will get to the bottom of this as long as you send me the stuff and the documentation. Okay, Nicole?
I will send you everything. Thank you so much for your help.
You got
it. I've learned my lessons. Also, should I not? You online travel agents. I assume that they were held to the same standards as
brick-and-mortar
travel agency.
Here's the problem. Online travel agents, the minute there's a problem, will say, oh, we're not really a travel agency. We just presented the fare. Well, yeah, you are an agent. You're not my agent. You're the agent of the airline that contracted you to sell me that ticket. You are. And some of these cases have gone to court, and some of them have not yet been adjudicated yet in terms of the definition of terms of what is an actual definition of a travel agent. But you lose nothing.
Mm.
Look, research online. Do that all day long, Nicole. And then, unless you want to look at travel as a commodity and be treated as such, use a travel agent. Have a conversation. Learn. Things get better that way.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Just like you had,
I learned my lesson.
You got it. Just like you had that conversation with me. Thank you, Nicole. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
You got it. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
The lesson here for everybody is simply this: no basic economy, or I will come to your house and slap you. Okay? We got that? All right. More Eye on Travel coming up as we return to Rochester, New York, right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel will be right back. You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information. And sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
This segment of Eye on Travel is presented by Rosetta Stone, the experts in language learning. Visit rosettastone.com/radio. Peter Greenberg back with you here as Eye on Travel continues from Rochester, New York. And of course, you know the drill. If you want to get in touch with me, it's easy. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here and there. In fact, let's go right out there on the phones to West Friendship, Maryland, a little bit outside of D.C. I've got Joyce on the phone. Hey, Joyce.
Hi. How are you, Mr. Greenberg?
I am fine. How can I help you?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking my question.
Not a problem.
We will be traveling to Europe this summer. And in particular, we're going to go to the Olympics, and then we're moving on to Venice. And I have already gotten my airline tickets to Venice, and I actually have a hotel book. But most recently, I heard that Venice is limiting tourism. So my concern is, what should I do? Is there something I need to do in particular to ensure that I'm one of the visitors that are allowed to go to Venice?
Okay, well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. You're going to the Olympics in Paris?
I am.
You have tickets?
We do.
Do you have an unlimited expense account?
I wish.
Well, listen, the gold medal for price gouging may be awarded early this year because hotel rates are through the roof there. Everything has been increased. Just, you know, I'm just giving you a caution. They've even doubled the cost of the Paris Metro. They've increased the entrance fee to the Louvre. By the way, 30,000 people a day are going to be there just at the Louvre. And, you know, hotel rooms that should be $300 a night, these are normal two-star hotel rooms, are going for $1,200. And the three- and four-star hotels are going anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 a night. I hope you got a good hotel deal. Did you?
Well, we got an Airbnb, a three-bedroom Airbnb, basically a year ago.
You planned ahead.
We planned ahead. It was not inexpensive. That's for sure.
Everything being relative, yeah, it's probably less expensive than it would be now. And can I ask you
correct.
And you got tickets. So for which events? I just want to hear which events are you going to go to?
Okay. We're going to volleyball. We are going to track and field.
Cool.
We're doing beach volleyball. We're doing water polo. And we also have something called kind of urban sports. So we will be seeing break dancing, BMX biking,
cool,
all kinds of different events like that. So it's a multi-event ticket.
Of course,
it'll be really great.
Of course, anybody trying to get Olympics tickets now will get, if they're lucky, will get tickets to midnight badminton. So that part of the deal is good. You lucked out, but I have to just give you the caution about the basic cost of goods and services while you're going to be there. It's not going to be pretty. Now let's shift over. You're going to fly from Paris to Venice and you're going to Venice probably late July, early August?
Early August, August 9th, we fly to Venice.
Okay. I don't want to disturb you here, Joyce, but Venice in August is not fun. It's hot, it smells, and the Bridge of Sighs is so crowded it becomes the Bridge of Thighs. Now, having said that, I know you're going to go, but let me answer the question that you called me up with in the beginning, and that is Venice limiting tourism? And I'll give you a qualified yes. Venice doesn't want day trippers. They don't want anybody showing up who doesn't have a hotel reservation. And because of that, if you can't prove that you've got a valid, bona fide hotel reservation, they're going to charge you €5 a day just to show up in Venice. But that's not the case with you. You have a hotel reservation or an Airbnb, correct?
Correct. We have a hotel in Venice.
Okay. So you're covered there, and that's going to be okay. But by the way, that entrance street of Venice may actually be increased between now and the end of the summer. It's happening all over Europe. It's happening in Greece at the Acropolis. It's happening in Rome. It's happening in Barcelona. It's happening in Amsterdam. The place is just overcrowded. For those people who are considering cruising the Greek islands, if you show up in Santorini like I did last summer, you don't even want to get off the ship. The people are just elbow to elbow. It's truly out of control. And however, I'm saying that if you can survive Paris during the Olympics, Venice is going to have no problem, and you will have no problem with Venice. You with me?
Well, we can hope. Yes, sir.
But here's what I want you to do, okay, Joyce? When you come back, I want you to keep a diary, literally, and we'll come right back on the air and tell me. When you come back, I want you to tell me exactly how much you spent for that week or two that you're going to be in Paris. And then I want you to tell me if you enjoyed Venice in August. How about that?
Sounds perfect to me. Thank you.
I want a full report.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Listen, have a great time. At least you're going to great events. The only caution I tell you is any of the water events in Paris. Paris keeps claiming they're going to still do it in the Seine. The Seine has not been cleaned up since Napoleon, passed gas. And, if you're a member of an Olympic committee where you're going to have, and you're entering those water events, the toxicity level there is reaching the point of, as they say in France, mon Dieu. So I want a full report on those swimming events too, okay?
All right, no problem.
You got it, Joyce. By the way, that music means we're out of time for the entire show. Lots of people to thank. Of course, our producer, Amanda Morris, Jeff Ryder doing the boards in Connecticut, Rachel Labor-Pulvino, and the entire folks here in Rochester. What a fun time we've had. We'll see you next week, everybody, from another location somewhere around the world. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.